You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Robin Fisher-Roffer. Brand strategist and storyteller, Robin has provided the rocket fuel that has launched and evolved dozens of media brands all over the world, such as A&E, Animal Planet, CNN, Comedy Central, Discovery, FX, Hallmark Channel, History, Lifetime, MTV, and TNT. As a founder and CEO of Big Fish Marketing, Inc., she leads an award-winning creative team adept at unearthing a brand's essence and filter, its look, feel, and tagline, market positioning, value proposition, and key messaging, both to consumers and the trade. With a mission to inspire professionals to fearlessly reach their potential, Robin has authored 4 books, including Make a Name for Yourself, now available on Audible, and Your No Fear Career, the second edition. For more information, please visit bigfishmarketing.com and follow Robin on Facebook and Twitter. Robin, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, how are you?
Boy, I read through the media brands that you've developed, and it reads a little bit like my DirecTV catalog.
Yeah.
Of the stations that I get. I have all of these. And I think that that's fascinating. I was just talking with another group recently, and it was a government agency, and they were struggling with branding. And they were just kind of getting their heads around the idea that, oh yeah, in spite of the fact that we're this air quote boring government agency, we're a brand. And I think that, you know, I can get lost in cocktail conversation on all of the different things that can be a brand. And I think media is definitely a brand. How do you, given all of that, how do you define what a brand is?
Well, you're only a brand if you have meaning beyond your name, if you have an emotional connection with the intended target audience that you're going after. That, for me, is the definition of brand.
Holy cow. That's you're bringing the A-plus answers. A lot of people are like, ooh,
Yeah, then you have to ask yourself, like that company you just described, do they have meaning beyond their name? Does anyone know what their position is? Do they have an emotional connection? Because if they don't, they're not a brand. They're building a brand, perhaps, but they're not a brand yet.
So I think the key word in there that you talk about is meaning. So if the answer to that question for anybody listening is no, what can you do about that? That kind of feels like an oh crap moment. Are you alone adrift on an island? Is it unfixable?
Oh no. Every day. This is one of my favorite slogans. Every day is a day to become brand new. So you can completely reinvent your brand immediately by doing one thing. And you want to know what that is?
What?
You have to figure out what your purpose is. What is the purpose of your business? Not what you do, not how you do it, but why you do it, right? So Simon Sinek has a great book on the power of why, and there's a wonderful TED Talk he does. So if you want a quick, crash course in the power of why, I would always look to him. But the mission statement is the thing that every company misses, doesn't get right, and forgets about. They're so busy tinkering with what their product's going to be, what their service is going to be, and they forget the whole meaning behind what they're doing. So you can't create meaning with a consumer or with your audience, which may be another business, right? Unless you've created meaning for yourself and why you're doing what you're doing.
Well, and I think a mission statement in and of itself, we can get caught in a lot of traps. I think you've mentioned a couple of them. The focus on, I feel like so many focus on the what instead of the why. And I also feel like just the idea of the mission statement, that a lot of times we get kind of constitutional with it. It becomes this great big statement phrased in a very clunky, grand way that doesn't really often mean anything.
Well, the problem with that is that nobody can remember it. Like everybody yeah. sits in their room and does a workshop and they're like all happy with themselves about this mission they've created that's, you know, paragraphs long, and not one person can remember it the next day. So the great mission statements are in 7 words or less. So for Coca-Cola, it's refresh the world. That's it. That's their mission statement. All right. So they can go and buy a water company and not just have Coke in their product line or soda pop. Do you see the difference? So it's like, and they can go and they can create clean water systems in countries all over the world, like Africa, because their mission is to refresh the world. It's an uplifting word, refresh, right? So I don't drink Coca-Cola, but I drink some of their other products, like their water or like Orangina or something like that. And I have this sense of refreshment, and it infuses the entire product line and the brand of the company. And that's for shareholders, consumers, and the B2B business they have, which is to retailers, right? Or to movie theaters or whoever they're selling their products to. So when you have a mission statement that's 7 words or less, everyone in the company can remember it. And then they walk lockstep towards that North Star. It is the song everyone sings. It's the whistle while you work. It's the why I'm getting out of bed in the morning. And without that, your brand is dead. It never launched and nobody cares.
Well, and what's great about I feel like that was about 5 different metaphors to reinforce the point. The North Star that you walk toward, all of those things. I think that's another key idea that we get lost in creating the very verbose mission statements, is that they have to do something. The purpose of the mission statement isn't to sit at the front of the binder or to be in, you know, framed up in the wall of the lobby when people kind of walk by it. It's supposed to be something that helps inform what you do and how you do it.
I have a brand new book called Your No Fear Career. And in that book, I have a whole chapter on how to arrive at those 7 words or less. And it is so easy that it'll blow the reader away. And I do it in workshops with these huge companies, these huge media companies. I make all my executives close their eyes and feel into why they're in business. And it's incredible. And I'll go and give speeches all over the country to rooms full of executives. And I'll say, how many of you have a mission statement for your life? And one hand will go up because maybe they had a coach that made them do the work. It is to go rudderless through life, whether personally or with your business, I just don't see how you can be fulfilled. My mission statement is to inspire humanity to fearlessly embrace change. It's out of reach, but it's in my grasp. I'm doing it right now. It's how I knew to say yes to the interview.
Well, I'm glad that you had your mission statement on the mind. And I also think that when you talk about it, something that you march towards, something that you that is aspirational, I think that that's important too. I mean, I think it's scary for some people of, oh, we might not ever make it there. But I think even the great brands that you mentioned, like Coke with refreshing the world, with the magical experiences that Disney provides, you're going to have days when you fall short of that, but you at least knew which direction everything was moving towards.
Well, yeah, and you have a measurement for at least for how the day went, right? You can say, oh, this was a good day. I was on mission, or you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to try harder. I'm really struck by how you're at a cocktail party, yeah, and you're networking, and people always say to you, tell me about yourself. And the first thing you do is you say your title and what company you work for. Or, you know, go off on some tangent about your own business that, and the person standing there is like wondering how quickly they can get to the bar to refill their glass. I mean, it is boring. It's meaningless. But if I say, I'm here to inspire professionals, if that's who I'm talking to, or executives or companies or teams or all of humanity, depending who I'm talking to, embrace change, right? Because fill in the blank. Then they go, well, how do you do that? I do it through storytelling. Tell me more through writing books. Tell me about your books. I mean, it goes in the direction you want it to go. And that's how you build the brand and you become unforgettable. You start with the why and you go to the, and then in my book also, I talk about how to tell your greatest story. And I always say, start with why you do what you do, not what you do, your mission. And then you are going to go into so many interesting and so many deep directions you never thought was possible with a pure stranger.
Well, and I also think that when you talk about a whole chapter for seven words, I think that that's at least what it would take, because seven words, and that's why everybody comes up with a bigger alternative, is because editing, writing short is hard.
Well, you know, that's a great quote. And now I get challenged because I thought it was Mark Twain, but now people are telling me it might have been Thomas Jefferson, who said to a very good friend, I would have written you a short letter, but I didn't have the time. And I think that is really true, right? Because it takes a longer time to write something crisp than it does to write something long. Because when you write it long, you can have it, you know, say everything that's in your mind, in your heart, in your head. But to get it short and crisp and quick, that's where the time comes in. And that's why the exercise in your No Fear career is first we start big and then I give examples on how to tighten it, because the tightening is the key, right? And that can go, you know, and I've had people that I've worked with when I coach clients here in Santa Fe where I live, or when I'm in New York with my clients. You know, I will like just cut out all the extraneous words for them and their mind is blown because the meaning becomes crystal clear. It's not mired in a bunch of words. You know, that old journalistic sentiment about burying the lead. You know, so often when we're writing our mission statement, we're burying the lead, right? And so what I like to do is help people unearth the truth and clarify and plant your flag and say it as crisply as possible, how you feel, why you're here, you know, why you matter.
I love that. I kind of equate it's funny because we have dueling metaphors here. You talk about unearthing that. I often say that in the consulting work that I do, it's kind of like a mining project. You know, you're chipping away because it's in there, and a lot of times they've gotten to it, but they've buried it a little bit.
Yeah, right. And we dance around things because we're afraid to say exactly what we do and who we are, because we're worried, oh, but we might lose this piece of business, oh, we might not get that client if we don't include everything but the kitchen sink. And I'll always say, well, one of my best and favorite clients is FX. FX, of course, has, like, besides HBO and Showtime, probably has the most original programming that's won Emmys, right? I mean, yeah. It's just incredible, the shows they have, right? American Horror Story, American Crime Story. I mean, I could go on and on about their great shows. Most of their programming, Nick, is, and I know you probably, this is going to blow your mind, is movies. The majority of their programming is movies. Yet, they put their best foot forward every day saying we are about award-winning original programming that you don't want to miss, that everyone's talking about. Isn't that interesting? Like maybe 20% of their lineup is originals and the rest is movies. So you, I challenge everyone who's listening to put your best foot forward, what you do best, what you bring to the table that no one else does, whether it's you as a person or you as your company or you as part of a larger organization. What are you doing that's so special so you become the go-to for that, right? So I know if FX has a new original, I'm going to watch it because they have a track record of doing that right.
Well, that's, and I think there's so many parallels you could find with that, because I think there's probably many businesses, organizations, individuals who think, oh, but I spend most of my time on this. So that's back to how we define ourselves to each other. I think it'd be easy to just say, oh, well, this is what I do. But then what you're really excited about, what is your best foot or the sharp end of the spear, that you've got that right there and out front. I think that's so important, but it's easy to see how some might want to undercut that because it might be in the minority of what you do.
Well, and it's fear-based to kind of throw everything in but the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so important too. And I think the fear is critical in kind of getting around, because I think, well, by goodness, I've walked right back into a book title of yours about a no fear career, and I did not. That I'd be much cooler if I would have just let that segue happen, but I became aware of it right in the middle of it, and because I think that fear is so hard when we're talking about putting our best foot forward, when we're talking about building an aspirational brand that we can follow like a North Star. So how do we get past some of the fear that we have?
Wow. You know, it's when we're in fear, then we can't have faith in ourselves and our product and our business, you know, and when we're in faith of all of those things, then there's no way we can be in fear. Right. So it's finding a way to move into faith. And, you know, in my book, I talk about quieting your inner judge, because the inner judge is who's telling you to put everything in but the kitchen sink. And don't leave that one out, because you want to make sure everyone knows you do that, because, you know, you could get a project in that
regard, right.
You know, and it's so, and you don't want to leave anything out, and then you're not the go-to person for anyone and you have no brand and no meaning. But the inner judge is the one who you have to quiet. So there is a wonderful way, one way, there, I have lots of ways in the book to quiet the inner judge, but which is going to create all the fear, right? And all the anxiety, which is tuning into your intuition and taking time to pause and sleep on it and look at it again, it being your mission or any of the copy that you're writing to create a purpose-driven business, right? Or to declare who you want to be in the marketplace. That's one thing. The pause is powerful. The other thing is writing down all the trash. So writing down all the trash in your head, like those little ants that run around that say, well, you can't say that. You can't say this. This isn't good enough. You'll never make it. You can't declare that you're that, even though you love it, because, you know, who do you think you are? You know, just like how the judge talks to you, write it down like a dialogue, and then write trash on it. Throw it in the garbage, light it on fire, just don't burn down the house. And then take out a piece of paper and write down truth, all the things that are absolutely true about your business, about yourself, about, you know, about everything that you've accomplished, and let that guide you to your highest and greatest good. And that exercise comes courtesy of a coach that I know named Christine Closer. And let me tell you, does that work? That trash or truth. It's the moment when I'm in a workshop and I make people write this stuff down, that they have the big aha moment about how many negative messages they're sending themselves that are sabotaging their business and really creating an unfulfilling life.
Well, and that's a good way of sorting through it. I feel like the other thing that you mentioned beyond fear, when you talked about pausing, sleeping on it, I think it's challenging when, you know, nobody knows your brand better than you do, but that's a problem also because sometimes we're too close to it to be able to, you know, steer the ship in the right direction when it comes to telling our story. So beyond sleeping on it, are there other ways that you can get past what might be kind of some internal blinders that you might have?
Well, you know, one of the greatest tools in marketing is the focus group. And I encourage, you know, all of my readers and audiences that I speak to, and I do it with my own clients, all those major brands that you talked about, I check in. What does the target audience think of us? What does our colleagues and our friends think of us? Get great quotes and testimonials. Interview them. Focus group them. And ask key questions about how they feel about you, what you're bringing to the table, why do they do business with you, what are they enjoying about the business. And that can become the underpinning for your positioning statements and all of your marketing speak about you, your business, your company, whatever you're writing about. It all stems from like doing the 360 or the 180, really, doing the 180-degree turn and standing in the shoes of the people that you're trying to influence most and finding out how they think and feel about you. I think you're going to hear a lot of good stuff. You'll be very surprised.
Well, and I think especially, I have no quantitative formula for backing it up, but I think if it's something that your people, your customers, your fans are saying about you, it counts double. It's even more important to be able to listen to that.
Yeah, and you can say like to a client, you know, I'm creating new website copy and I'm having trouble, you know, because I'm so close to my brand and my business. Can you share with me what it is about working with me that you enjoy, that you love, that you value? Wow, are you going to get some great answers? And they're going to be happy to tell you, I have to say.
So in looking at when I was reading your bio, as a branding person, I have a confession to make, and that is that I follow everything, the look, the feel, the tagline, market positioning, value proposition, key messaging. I don't know what your brand's filter is. So what is a brand filter?
A brand filter is, some marketers call it the is, is not list. So it would say like Big Fish, that's my company. Big Fish is not. And then under Big Fish is, there's 10 adjectives. And if you do your focus grouping, then you can pick all the adjectives that people said about you that you love, that you want to aspire to be, even though you may not feel you are in the moment it was said, or it's something you want to be. So there's 10 Big Fish is on the left, and then Big Fish is not on the right. And then as you go across, so it could be Big Fish is creative, Big Fish is not cookie cutter. See?
So it's that old axiom that what you aren't, your antithesis is just as important in defining you as what you are. But by making a filter, it's sort of an actionable framework for bringing that to life.
Yes. And what I love about the is not list, which is a filter for your whole business, your whole life, is it can be a filter for choosing employees. They have to adhere to everything on the left, what your brand is. They have to embody your brand. So if you say creative, enthusiastic, forward thinking, you're wanting to hire people that fulfill that.
So as we start to wrap up, if someone is listening to this, is motivated, is excited, and they're thinking, I want to do something different today, but all of this branding stuff is a great big heavy lift. what can someone do differently today? What would your advice be beyond that elevator pitch? If they're still on the elevator, it's a long elevator ride. What's one thing that you would give
Forget
them?
Forget the elevator pitch. I used to think that was the most important thing in the world. I am like in this new book, I am just turning it all on its head. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's all about telling a story. If you can get an elevator with somebody and somebody says, wow, you know, I've been wanting to meet you, or you want to say, I want to meet you, you'd say, you know, I just got to tell you, the other day with my wife, or the other day with my kids, or when I was little, I used to dream about working for Coke. You know what it is? Make it a story about them and make that person the main character of the story. So, for example, when people meet me, they always say, how'd you get into the television business? How'd you get into advertising? You know, what made you want to start your own agency? Things like this. Tell me about yourself. And I always say, at the age of 11, my single dad taught me the ad business. I was the cook in the house. I would clear the table at the end of the night. My sister and I would sit with him, and we would write headlines and figure out what image should go in an ad. And then we would go to meetings with him, because we were latchkey kids, and we'd pitch and close. And our dad taught us how to be an ad man. And to this day, my sister and I are both in the business. You know, and everyone loves that, because it's like, oh my God, she's the real deal. This isn't like something like, you know, she was at a party school, which I did go to the University of Alabama, and decided, oh, I'm just going to be in marketing, which so many people do. Like, this is in her DNA. How cool is that?
So my question was going to be, so how does one determine their story? But a guess I might have in hearing your own story that you just told is that it really does get back to that pesky why, that's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
That is
back to that pesky why, exactly. that you have to figure out.
That is important. It's three letters that we can't get around. Everybody kind of nods along with the why. They've heard the Simon Sinek talk, but we, few of us, feel the need to wrestle it down and figure it out, because it's not easy.
Yeah, no. And that's why I decided to write this step-by-step on how to do it, based on building, you know, just dozens and dozens and dozens of corporate brands, media brands, technology brands, even insurance brands, even bank. I've done banks. I mean, there's pretty much anything I've done. And then personal brands, people brands, and just put it all into one place. And that's what your No Fear Career is. And I wrote it at a time when I was scared to death. My whole, you know, I thought my business was falling apart. My marriage was falling apart. My life was falling apart. There was so much uncertainty. And I said, darn it, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to create a talisman for the rest of my life. And since then, when I started writing the book 3 years ago, everything has changed. Wow. It's amazing when you write down your intention, your purpose, and you be in service to your reason why you're here, how everything turns around. And believe me, I thought it was dark days, like so many people on this call and listening to this podcast. They know that it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I promise you that.
Well, and that I love the idea of the story being the talisman as well. Well, Robin, as we wrap, our one big gotcha question is, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, this morning, okay, so let me back up a second. So last night, I put in the new Apple operating system onto my phone. And, you know, it's always kind of a hassle, because, you know, you got to restart your phone and all this stuff. But this morning, I got like a little text from Apple that said, we want you it's something like, we want you to enjoy your new operating system. Click here to find out how. And then they sent the heart emoji.
Huh.
And I thought to myself, that's it. Because it's not about their advertising. which I love. It's beautiful. Everybody loves Apple advertising. But what it's we're getting less and less places where we're going to see advertising because of the way we're consuming media, right? We're not it's less ad laden. So these little at every touch point, a brand has to do something special that makes you know that you're loved. It is our expectation now as consumers to not necessarily be asked to be accountable and loyal to a brand, but for the brand to be loyal to us and to love us. And that's what they did. They sent me a heart emoji this morning and it put a smile on my face because I was like, Apple loves me. So I love everything in my life is Apple, right? Every device, everything I do, my music. And they just let me know this morning with a little heart emoji that I mattered. And I know that sounds probably superficial to some people, but when you're a brand marketer like you or me, that's pretty cool.
Well, and we talk so much, like you said, about customer loyalty. And it's a good reminder, too, that the onus is on the brand to express that love also.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Awesome. I just have to tell you that I really love talking about this. Most people, don't want to know or don't understand our business, but it's what drives the economy, right? What we're talking about, but more importantly, it's what gives every one of us purpose.
Absolutely,
a brand is so much more than a logo or a tagline. It's the way they touch. It's the way they touch you. It's the way they express why they're here and in your life. And when we can do that as individuals, then our life even has more meaning.
Well, I'm going to call out another seamless segue because you've brought us back full circle right to your very first answer of the meaning that something has beyond its name. So all the way down to the little minor touch points of a heart emoji.
Yeah. Good
that
deal.
Is a great story. Robin, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
If they go to bigfishmarketing.com, which is the name of my company, Big Fish Marketing, they will find where to get my books, which are all on Amazon. That's another thing to do. They'll find out all about how I coach people and companies. And there's about 90 blog posts written there and some video. So a lot of free stuff. So I hope everybody enjoys it.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Robin,
thank you
for joining us on Brand. And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Mark Sorrow gave us a shout out for our episode about IBM Watson. Mark, thank you for listening. And a reminder, if you heard something on this show that you liked, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can find links to everything that we talked about at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.